Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, May 19th, and what a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to the show, everybody. Obviously, Tori's not here, or I wouldn't be doing silly things, except I do. But I am joined once again by Kay Brandt, who's an awesome woman. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Kay. Thank you.
And the reason you come back here, because you are awesome. We always have great conversations.
Yes.
And you were blessed with a good mind.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. And I'm sure you invested in it too, right? It's not all just genes.
Yeah, there was a little bit of education that went in there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where did you go to college?
I did.
Where did you go?
I keep that secret.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why? Was that like a college for strippers or something? No, that's okay. That's fine.
There are but just some things that we keep off the resume because there are a lot of people who data collect.
And that's true. They do a lot of collections.
How much data collection they can make. So.
I know. And today it's so freaking dangerous, you know, and I started watching Black Mirror on Netflix. Have you heard of it or seen it?
No.
It's like a Twilight Zone for the modern age.
Okay? Oh, wow.
So twists and situations where people are tested and commentary on society and stuff. And it's unbelievable, some of the things, because you're watching this and you go, but we're almost there, you know? And this one episode I was talking about it the other day where people raid each other, like by stars, 1 to 5. So if I see you down the street or something, right, I can look you up on the phone and immediately see what your rating is. So some places you're not allowed in if you have less than 3.0 or 4.1 or something like that. And people can actually rate you down if you're rude to them or something. You just give someone a shitty rating.
Right.
It's like Uber.
Well, yeah.
Right?
I mean, or
but can you imagine
it's like Yelp.
Yeah. Can you imagine if people earned a reputation like that? And, you know, it is actually more like Uber because the driver rates you and you rate the driver.
Oh, yeah. Well,
right?
Yeah. I don't use it, so I don't know.
Yeah, but. But that's the way it goes, 1 to 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And people live by those stars. Even mm-hmm. the passengers
yeah.
do, you know?
Yeah.
Which is funny. So now you see this and people are like sort of, so it's sort of like measuring your popularity, your social skills. And when you think about it, when we look at follows and likes, it's the same thing. People think, you know, they have a reputation if they have 200,000 followers or something, you know?
Well, yeah, it is a popularity contest, but social media clearly has the divide as well of leaders uh-huh. and followers. There are people that are strictly there to follow and watch.
Right.
And support and encourage. And then
they're the audience more.
Right. And then there are the leaders who set the stage.
Right.
But, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine a couple years ago, and I still think that this is very valid, which is there's never been a generation except for this one coming up, this younger one, where their entire life has been documented on the internet. Their entire life.
Wow, that's true, right?
Involuntarily through their parents and family members.
Right,
who
like
are,
pictures, videos, right. things like that.
As
from the
adults,
beginning.
We've chosen to share whatever we want to share. Our past, our current, you know,
situations. Present, future, yeah.
On social media, but the children and teenagers have had no choice in that except for to have their entire lives blasted out on the
That's
internet
true.
For anybody to see. And so I, you know, my because I automatically am a sarcastic disbeliever in most things, so and I always look for the darker lining. It just can't help it, right? Just who I've always been. And in many ways, that's helped me in life because I don't walk through, I'm not frolicking through life.
Right,
I'm
right.
not just walking, just going through without thinking. Like, I know that bad shit goes down.
Right.
And I know that good shit goes down. So,
it does,
but you never really know what's going to happen or how it's going to turn out. So, I think with this thing, like I said to my friend, I said, your child is going to be judged by their future employers, their college, their future mates, by everything that you've posted. So, those concerts you took him to when he was just a toddler or whatever, and there was questionable things happening at these concerts or whatever. You know, I mean, it's a it's a reality that I don't think most people understand that. Oh, look, I just gave birth. Oh, look, they're 2 days old. Oh, look, they're 6 weeks old. Oh, look, now they're three, they're four, they're five, they're six. Look at every single thing they've done, every meal they've eaten, every place they've ever gone to, every tantrum they've ever had. It's all there.
Wow. That's true. And that's the scary part. We're already living it.
Well, we've caused a generation into, we've forced a generation into zero privacy.
Yeah.
Forced them.
That's the thing. You can't stop progress, you know, and that's the thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing not to be able to stop it, but it can go both ways, you know. But the thing is that you can't, We can't really blame ourselves, you know. I mean, it's just the way it happened.
It's just the way that it happened.
We've inherited a lot of shit too from other generations.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's true. The political fallout is mostly what my generation had to deal with.
Right.
You know, the 80s came around because everything was way too serious up until that point. You know, way too serious and way too heavy as far as like. Drug use and
right
yeah,
it actually started before the 80s. It was I think after the war, after Vietnam,
right,
people started like really living it up
caring. The 70s wasn't carefree when they lived it up. They lived it up in a strange,
I remember that
murky you know, like everything was very mature and sexual, and even the music, I mean just everything about it was a different time. The 80s came along and suddenly it was like girls just want to have fun.
Yeah, right.
Madonna and like, you know, it was just it was more about doing crazy makeup and wearing fluorescent colors.
Right. It's not as deep. You're right.
It wasn't as deep, and that was like a needed pause. And then the 90s came around where we slowly, that was the 80s generation growing up.
Right, exactly. And then the internet came around and the rest is history.
But the younger generation has only, my generation, I mean, I say my generation because I was a teenager in the 80s. It's, they owe my generation for being open to new technology and embracing it, and because it has shaped and colored and changed the world for younger generations. If we had been completely closed off to it, but we were like, hey, what's this? Because we were raised on the Rubik's Cube and the this and the that and the Simon toys and Atari when it was nothing, or, you know, Pong, and every new thing that came along, we embraced and took in and asked for more. And it was, it took a generation like that in order to open up the doors for this generation's happening now, for better or for worse.
Right, exactly, exactly. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest call. And we're going to have some interesting conversation, folks, on creation and evolution and all that stuff, which sounds interesting,
very
right?
Interesting.
We always like controversial stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, but as far as technology, I can't help but think that the future I see is grim. With all this technology, you know, I don't see where it's going to end good in the end. You
well,
know?
I can tell you that I totally disbelieve that. I think it's going to be great because I just bought a new washing machine and dishwasher. And they're smart. They're smart technology. And I'm telling you, it has changed my life in just 2 weeks' time having these new appliances in the house compared to the old ones that broke, the old ones from a decade ago. The technology has changed so much, even to the fact that it's quiet. They're quiet appliances. My old dishwasher was like having a party in there. You could hear that water flying and hitting the sides of the machine and the noise and the this. It just sounded like a car wash, you know, not a dishwasher. But this is like very quiet. Yeah. It takes a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
You really
you enjoying it right now. I'm talking like 50 years from now.
Right.
I'm not talking tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, it's inevitable that machines are going to be so much more powerful and intelligent.
Yeah.
That, you know, they call that the point when we reach equal intelligence with computers.
Right.
It's called singularity.
Yeah.
And they figure it's going to happen like around 2030 or so.
Just around
2035.
The corner.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary stuff. So here's our guest calling in. So let's pick that up.
Okay.
And we'll pick the conversation back up afterwards.
Hello.
Are you
Ken
with
Hovind
us?
Here. I'm supposed to be on a program here for a few minutes.
Yes, yes. Hi, Kent. How are you? You didn't give us a chance to say hi to you.
Hey, pretty good. Kak masavut.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise in the background. Do you hear it? Yeah.
Sounds like he's on a space station.
I'm in the... Hang on 1 second. Freddie,
okay.
If you need a zip code or something, holler. Yeah, we're at a tractor store getting some parts for our tractor.
Oh, wow, how cool. Where do you live? Where are you calling us from?
Are you recording the program or is this going to be live?
It's live and recorded. Go ahead. Where are you calling us from?
Well, I'm at the Kubota dealer in Monroeville, Alabama.
Alabama.
We had a break on our tractor. There's a little pins. So we got to get some new ones, $12. But according to evolution, things get better automatically. But
really?
We can't get it to work for it.
Okay, so you'll tell us a little bit about that. But tell us a little bit about how you got into this whole thing, because you have a whole program about this. Let's introduce the topic first of all. You talk about creation, evolution. What is the primary thing that you're claiming that you're teaching?
Well, when I was 16 years old, I became a Christian. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was going to public school, and in my biology class, my teacher was very outspoken in favor of evolution, trying very hard to get all the kids to believe this. And I was very confused as a new Christian. I'm reading my Bible, which says God made everything in 6 days, and I'm reading my textbooks, which says the earth is billions of years old, and it all evolved over by chance. And I said, somebody is lying. I don't know who it is, but somebody's lying. And so that led to a lifelong study on the topic of the scientific accuracy of the Bible. So I moved to Pensacola, Florida in January of 89, and an article came out in the newspaper that said dinosaur bones were found in Montana from 80 million years ago or something like that. Right. So I simply wrote my first ever letter to the editor, and I said, no, these dinosaurs are those that drowned in the flood. The earth is not millions of years old. Dinosaurs lived with man. They called them dragons all through history, and people killed most of them. And there could be a few still alive, like Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that. A lot of people claim they've seen creatures like that. So that led to them inviting me to come to the university in Pensacola and do a debate with one of their atheist professors. And I've now had 120 debates and would love to have another one, but they don't seem to want to do it anymore. I defend the position that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate.
Yeah.
God made the world in 6 days. Uh-huh. That's the only way it works. Right. You know, plants require certain animals, and animals require certain plants.
Right.
You can't have them evolving separately slowly over millions of years. It's not going to work.
Right, right.
That began our full-time ministry of me traveling and speaking on the topic, defending the Bible as being correct. So that's what I do.
Sounds good. Now, and you do that in a religious way? How do you present this to people?
Well, I speak at a lot of colleges, universities, and schools. Some public schools I speak at, they don't want me to mention God or the Bible. I say, no problem. Let's just talk about the science. I speak in churches almost every week. I do this free of charge. I ask churches to pay a ticket to come and take a love offering for our ministry.
Right.
I'm an evangelist. Our website is drdino.com, D-R-D-I-N-O.
Uh-huh.
And we're building Dinosaur Adventureland in Alabama.
That's cool. Wow. So now let me ask you this. Have you studied evolution from a scientific point of view as well? So you could compare?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
The problem with the word evolution, the word is too slippery. You know, when they say you believe in evolution, I say, well, what do you mean?
Right.
Which kind of evolution are we talking about?
Right.
Because, you'd have to have, first of all, what they call cosmic evolution. That would be the origin of time, space, matter. Their answer to that is the Big Bang, which is not an answer at all. Then you have to have chemical evolution. The Big Bang would produce hydrogen. Okay, well, how do we get all these other elements?
Right.
You tell me uranium evolved from hydrogen gas? I want to see how that happens.
Yeah.
So you have to have the planets and stars evolve, stellar evolution. Nobody's ever seen that. Then you have to have organic evolution, where things come alive. Then you have to have macroevolution, where animals change to a different kind.
Right, right. No, that makes sense, you know. And, the thing is that we had an atheist here, and we had some fascinating discussions and everything. The thing is, what I found is that, when you... like an atheist has to answer a lot of questions.
Yes.
And someone who believes in God only has to answer one,
right.
You know?
It's very safe.
It's very safe.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is that you also have to explain how there's got to be, Kay, what do you think? There's got to be an intelligence out there beyond this?
Yeah, I mean, I completely disagree with him about everything, but I'm not interested in having a major debate on it either.
No, not a major debate, but I think he's inviting them.
I think, yeah, here's my question. My main question for you.
Evolution.
My main question.
Because the last one is called microevolution. That's changes within the same kind of animal. Dogs and wolves probably had a common ancestor.
Yes, I
do
believe
that. They
call that
microevolution.
Right. My question.
But that doesn't prove dogs and bananas have a common ancestor.
My question for you is what? How do you define God?
Well, I don't think the human brain could understand God. If two computers were arguing with each other, does man exist?
No, but the Christian faith absolutely defines God as an entity.
Well, I don't know if we can give a definition, but he defines himself in the Bible many different ways. He says, I am that I am, indicating there's no time with God.
Right, but how could there be sex then? How could there be a sexual orientation if there's no...
What do you mean?
Do you know what I'm saying? He says him. So they see God as a him.
No,
so
I don't think so.
If there's a timeless essence and there's no body, no shape, how is there a sexual orientation to their gender?
Yeah, well, God reveals himself as a him. You're right. I don't understand that.
Well, no, that's how it's written. There's no proof of that either. There's no proof of that either. That's how it's written in the Bible, but there's no proof.
Right, no, there's no proof. You are right. So from a scientific perspective, the argument would be stopped right there.
The argument is that most people feel much safer knowing, making a God that is a man, because somehow that's somebody that you can trust and feel safe in. If it was a woman, all hell would break loose, and you know it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. That I don't know. But see, here's the problem. The Christians who believe in God, or the people, not even Christians, who believe in God, they're not asking all the people to pay for their religion to be taught in the school system. The atheists and evolutionists are demanding that their religion be taught at taxpayer expense, which is the way it's been now for 50 years. That is what's totally wrong. We are all paying, under threat of going to prison, we're all paying for one religion to be taught, which is evolution.
Well, I don't know that.
That's
because, you see, I was raised Roman Catholic, and I went to a Catholic high school, and in the Catholic world, the Catholic religion is the only one that exists. It was mandatory for us to take 4 years of religion in high school. And I didn't want to take that class because I have no interest. I don't believe in religion, but I'm not an atheist. I'm more of an agnostic than anything else, because I do feel that something does exist, but there's no way that the planet was created in 6 days by an entity called God that has a male sexual gender.
Well, you know, I don't think you can say this. Hold on a second. Wow, there's a lot of noise, so I'm trying to turn you down a little bit while we talk, but the thing is that, you know, my thing is this, is that 5 days, I don't take the Bible literally, and I think many scholars do not. They understand it's not meant to be taken literally. But let me ask you this, Kay, okay?
Yeah.
You're saying absolutely not, but you're talking in human terms. If there's an intelligence out there that's much bigger than us, you don't think it could create anything in
there's
5 days?
There's no way that one entity, that one source of intelligence could be so all-powerful that they would have control over everything that happens in the universe. And there is a universe out there.
So you don't really think there is?
No, I don't think there is at all.
Okay, so that's pretty radical.
No, it's not. It comes from actually, you know, stepping back and realize that most of life is random. And there is this thing called consciousness, and consciousness is not God. It is the power that is within us. So consciousness is what we have evolved and become as human beings. And every life form, I mean, has a form of consciousness. You know, it's something called Mother Nature.
Okay, so what you're saying really, in 14 billion years, like cosmic dust can become intelligent human beings, a closed ecosystem, and all that.
Yes, and there's nothing
without intelligence behind it.
Of course, it's evolution, and so that's the thing. No, he doesn't believe in that.
You're saying it's evolution, but that's how you explain it.
Okay, so let's say on Mars, there's no saying that cosmic dust isn't intelligent.
Right, but you know what? Let's let Kent back in the conversation. I'm sorry, Kent. But you stimulate conversation, and that's the important
thing. And Sam and I just like start riffing. So.
Kent, okay. Yeah. Well, so go ahead. Kent.
We start with the assumption that we are here. We exist, and we are aware that we exist. And so we have to, I say, if you're walking through the woods and you find a painting hanging on a tree, you look around, there are no footprints, there are no people, there's nobody, no houses, but there's a painting hanging on the tree. You conclude, rightfully, that there was a painter, because those things don't grow on trees. Now, I currently can't find the painter, I don't know who he was, but I know there was one, whether I find him or not. And I think the painting itself is proof of the painter, and the creation is proof of a creator. Now, who is this creator? Is it male, female? Is it Allah, Buddha, Jehovah? That's a different set of arguments.
Right. No, those are all man-made entities.
Okay, there is a creator.
Right,
period.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, who is he, and who is he, and why did he do it?
Right.
And, you know, if there's a creator, did he do it for some reason? Like every other creator creates things for a reason.
Right. So there you go. You know what I mean? Yeah, by deduction, by human reason, you concluded that this exists, and it makes a lot of sense, but it does open a lot of discussion, and we could probably sit here for hours. The bottom line is I love conversations like this. I like talking about God because I happen to think it's both.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't subscribe to organized religion, mm-hmm. but I do have my faith that there's a much bigger intelligence out there than us that we don't understand. I mean, how can you be so sure? You weren't there.
Nobody was.
No, but you're saying it as though it's absolute, though. You're saying no way. It's evolution, and there's no...
Okay,
you know.
Evolution in the way that... Okay, so Stephen Hawking, you know, he used to talk about the fact that there's not just black holes, but white holes. That those black holes suck all this stuff out of the universe and spews it out on another side of the universe that we don't even know about, where everything is white.
Right.
You know, I mean, and these are all these are all just studies. These are all theories. But that's the thing, is that not one of us knows the truth. So
right.
it's our thoughts, it's our thinking, it's our judgment, it's his. Right. But it's not, there's no way to know.
For sure.
That
right.
is the beauty, and we shouldn't even try to rectify
exactly.
that. When you really think about just how vast this universe is and how many theories about the fact that things are appearing fast in the universe, when astronomers study, they look out and everything seems to be moving very fast, except for the fact that it slows down or does it go very slow and it goes very fast at the edge of the universe. So, I mean, there are things like, what is pulling? What is happening? Where does it end? Nobody knows where it ends, and that is terrifying.
Right, right.
If you really get lost in that train of thought, it's terrifying to realize that we are powerless. But God gives you a sense of power. By believing in that, you feel a sense of safety, that there is this all-knowing that somehow has your back. And that is just something I can't even wrap my brain around.
Right. So there you go. Kent, tell us, so you have... Oh, wow, there's so much noise out there.
He's like in his car with his window down in the middle of Alabama. There's like a dust storm outside. I don't know what the heck's happening.
Yeah. Okay, now it's
sorry
better.
Sorry about the background noise. I'm at the Kubota tractor dealer, and I can't find a quiet place here. I'm looking for it. Anyway, I would have to completely disagree with a lot of what your guest is saying. I believe the evidence is overwhelming, A, that the universe was created and it was designed, and since then it's been decaying. Everything we see follows the second law of thermodynamics. Things are getting worse, falling apart, not improving. And I think the Creator had to do it for a reason, and I think if he's going to be the judge someday, then he's obligated to tell us what the rules are and what he's going to judge us for, just like every state and county and government in the world. If they pass a law, they publish the law, and then they post it, and then they preserve it. Like if they pass a speed limit in your town, they can't secretly pass a resolution at the town council and not tell anybody and then fine people for breaking it. That's just not common sense, not fair. I believe God not only made everything, and he will be the judge. I believe he makes the rules, and he told us what they are, and he published it in a book. And that book is the Bible, which I hold to be the flawless, inspired word of God. And I think he's preserved that through the centuries, and I think I have a copy of it at my house.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my position.
Awesome.
I think then if you look at the evidence for how old the Earth is, the sun is burning up. I mean, step outside and look at it. It's burning 5 million tons a second. Nobody argues about that.
Right.
But if you run the numbers backwards in time, you'll see you got a problem, because that puts a time limit of less than the 4 billion years that they claim the Earth has been here, 4.5, whatever.
14 billion.
You look
years.
At the Earth. Well, let me give a couple more. The moon is going around the Earth, but the moon is leaving us. It's moving away about 2 inches a year,
right,
which indicates that it used to be closer.
Right.
Well, how far back in time can you go before that would become a problem? And if you run all the math on that, including the inverse square law with gravitational attraction, you'll find out 1.2 billion years ago, the Earth-Moon system would collapse. So it is not common sense to say the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. It cannot be, and the Moon proves it. And I go through about 100 ways to show scientifically, without
yes,
the Bible,
right,
that the Earth cannot possibly be billions and billions of years old like they say. That's
yeah,
just whistling in the dark, in my humble opinion.
Well, I'm very interested in what you have to say, and it's fascinating because you are presenting a controversial point of view, although many people do. Obviously, I think most people in the world have some kind of a spiritual being that's part of their lives and so forth. Tell us how people can find out more about, you have courses and DVDs and so forth?
We do. All sorts of DVDs, drdino.com, drdino.com. They can call our office, 855-BIG-DINO, like a big dinosaur.
Okay.
And we're in little bitty town in Lenox, Alabama, about 70 miles straight north of Pensacola.
Right. Sounds good. And now, were you raised in a religious home?
I was raised Lutheran and Methodist and Mennonite and Catholic and
confused.
And at 16, I gave my heart to the Lord and ended up in a Baptist church. And I am now pretty firmly convinced that that's the closest I can find to what the scriptures teach.
That's
if
awesome.
If I find somebody closer, I'll go join them.
Yeah. And you know, one thing, I'm paraphrasing Einstein, but he sort of said, you know, the more I discover about science, the closer I get to God. You know, whatever God meant to him, I don't know, but I agree with a lot of things that happened. And the bottom line is, we weren't there. We don't know what happened in the beginning. We can't even begin to fathom
what the beginning was,
right, or what the intelligence behind it is,
right.
You know, but it's great debate, and I think, like Kay said, it's great that we have that uncertainty, that, you know, because it makes life, it gives us free will. I think
it reminds us that we're a speck in the universal plan,
right,
if there is a plan at all,
right. But finally, Kent, I did want to ask you, you're saying that this is a God that judges, right? It judges our actions.
That's what he reveals himself. That would be common sense, in addition to the fact that that is what the Bible says.
Right.
If there's a creator, he must have done it for a reason, and he must expect something out of his creation.
Right. But at the bottom, so my question is this, do you believe he's given us free will?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
You don't have to serve him if you don't want to.
Right. But then you'll get punished, so there's no free will, right? It's pretty much a law.
Well, no, does your state that you're in give you free will? You can drive on the highway, but if there are certain parameters, certain laws, if you go too fast or endanger somebody or hurt somebody.
Right, so you're saying there's consequences.
Over the line.
Right, so there's consequences, but again, if you know that you're going to be punished, you probably won't do it. But I do see what you're saying about, you know, driving fast or whatever, knowing you're going to get a ticket and so forth. So there's some choice there. But fascinating stuff, Dr. Kent Hovind. DrDino.com. Just the name is enough to want to go there and see what's going on. DVDs on the age of the earth and Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. So you address a lot of different things. And if nothing else...
I'd be thrilled and honored to come to any university and debate any number of atheists at the same time. I'll take on 10 at a time.
Yeah.
If I get half the time, and we talk about one topic at a time. Tell them...
Sounds good. Sounds good. Dr. Kent, thank you so much for joining us, and all the best to you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. great conversation, and just I was so distracted by the noise. You know, how can you have a conversation when there's so much noise?
Why are
in the
you
background?
Not? I don't ever understand people who have a big, big point to make like he does, and have this massive platform that he's trying to convince on a wide level. You know that he's right. Why would you not be prepared for your guest appearance and be someplace quiet? I don't know.
Okay. All right. I agree. But that's what we got. But it's a fascinating guest. And we always love this. I love, because when you get into controversy, and especially about God, I think everybody likes to talk about the concept of God and all that kind of stuff. Because there's a lot of passion about mm-hmm. it, right? And yeah. there's no certainty about anything.
Well,
so people try to convince each other. Nobody convinces anybody. And, you know, people stay with their opinions. That's why they say don't argue about religion and politics, because nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening, but there are millions of people who think that it's worth going to war for and killing other people for. So I just can't, like... He refers to God as being this person who's looking over and has a plan, but it was the plan to kill innocent people in the name of God? And that is one of the things that I have ever since, you know.
But that's not a God action. That's a human action
right.
to kill other people
but
in the
so
name of God.
So are all the names of God that are created through religion. So
what do you mean?
Well, just the name God has been created by man.
Right. Okay, absolutely. But that's not a name. God is not a name.
It's a reference. It's the title
right.
you've given to
right.
whatever it is that you
to describe
God
it.
To be.
Right, exactly. Right. But like you said, it's about belief. That's all that we have.
Right.
You know, even our science, unfortunately, tomorrow somebody would come and shatter all the beliefs we've had. And science is always like that. I
mm-hmm.
mean, you know, you had yeah. Newton, you had Copernicus,
room.
You had Galileo. And, you know, and all these people were persecuted for saying science is wrong. So
yeah.
we can still say science is
right.
wrong. It's always going to be wrong because we can never know. It's not meant to be. You know what the funny thing is in Hebrew, the word for world is olam, which comes from ne'elam, which means hidden.
Yes.
So the world is hidden from us.
For
you
sure.
know? And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And I think that gives you free will.
Right.
If you think you're going to be punished, I don't think it's about punishment. It's about, I think, maybe a cook telling you, you know what? Don't eat this with this because it's going to make you sick. But then they give you different laws. Why would you argue with the cook? The cook knows what's going on
well,
with the food, you know. And if you eat it, and
right.
if you do eat it, you're going to get right. upset stomach. But it's not about punishment, I don't think.
So I think there's a lot of, what I heard was a lot of, well, God said, well, God does, well, God, well, how?
Yeah.
Then you're talking about having
he's
an
very,
absolute proof of something, and we don't have that.
Right, right. But I think he grew up very religious, and then he got interested in how do we prove what we believe. And he's had a pretty interesting journey. You
yeah.
know, I mean, I was reading up on this and stuff. And, you know, again, you know, it's a fascinating topic, and I think, and I always welcome more conversation here. I mean, we had an atheist
Absolutely.
Here, and we invited him back, so we spent 2 hours with him, and we still didn't finish talking about it.
Like me.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we'll talk to you about this stuff. But you know what? Let's get back to this topic. There was a few other things I wanted to talk about. About your stuff. You have exciting things going on in your life right now.
I do.
You just completed a film?
I did.
What's it called?
Naked.
Naked?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to see
And God approves.
Well, your God does.
Because it was two people yeah. naked in recreating the Garden of Eden. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
They were recreating a popular show called Naked and Afraid, but it's not a parody. It's a romance.
Ah, and you wrote it?
I did, and I directed it.
And you directed it
mm-hmm.
too? Now, would this be considered pornography?
It would be.
Okay.
It wouldn't be considered, it is.
It is. Okay, I'm just trying to clarify for people. Because you say you write erotic stuff, so I don't know if you actually
well,
show
I don't say,
penetration
I do.
And stuff. Yeah, I know.
It's different. So, there's a lot of talkers who say that they do a lot of things and they don't do any of them, but I do all of these things.
So this is hardcore stuff.
Yes.
Okay. But there is a story behind it.
Always.
Always a story. And you don't act in it, though, right?
Sometimes, but I don't perform.
You don't perform.
I'm a non-sex actor.
Oh, non-sex actor. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. That was a conscious choice on your part not to act.
Not to perform.
Not to perform, okay.
It's not so much a conscious choice, it's just knowing who you are, and that's not me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't have it in me to have sex on camera.
Right, right.
Not in any way. Not.
But you don't judge other people that do.
Of course not.
Right.
That would be really wrong to
right,
be making
exactly.
a career in a business where you judge everybody. That'd be so fucked up.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Totally.
Yeah. So, and that's why you're pretty open-minded, and I like that. You know, you're really...
I think the worst thing we can do to our consciousness and our race as human beings is to be closed-minded.
Yeah.
Because you're closing off the beauty of this world, and most of the beauty in this world comes to being open-minded and understanding that there's all kinds of different ways of seeing things, of feeling things, of looking at things, of the way that you behave in the world. And if it wasn't for the fact that man made these rules and regulations, not God, that we would be a totally different society. And
right.
it's all because through the generations, through hundreds of years of where we've come from when we were, settlers?
Right.
When we were running around. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that the rules were to behead people that were behaving wrong and putting their heads on the front of the castle gate so that it would warn off other people from committing those same crimes. That was, 600 years ago?
But
that we
was
were doing
ancient.
That?
We don't think that anymore.
Oh, come on.
What? What? We chop people's heads off?
No,
yeah, Muslims do.
Yes.
Right? Extreme Muslims do.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
But to put all the religions on one level, I think is wrong.
Oh, I do too. Completely, 100%.
Right? Because there's different ways, there's peaceful ways to worship your God, and there are coercive, violent ways to make
That's
people
right.
believe.
And even in the most peaceful ways of worshiping their God, there are the extremists within it.
Yes. Absolutely. There's always extremists, but we can't let them lead the way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But then it comes down to the fact that human beings need to believe in something.
Right. And that's like, there was an article once, I think, called The God Gene, you know, on Time Magazine or something.
Yes.
And scientists do think we do have the propensity to want to believe in something.
Oh, 100%.
In a greater power, you know? And
even atheists have made the choice to believe in nothing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's and we're all making choice, and there you go with free will. Like, I don't
right.
think God gave us free will. We did that because it's within us. There's something. I say I'm agnostic because I've had some experiences in my life that were just a little off of the grid in a way that made me think. It's something. There is more dimensions to what we see. There's there's multiple generations, there's multiple dimensions into what's really happening in our existence.
Right.
And I don't want to get into all those things. That would be way too hard to explain, take me way too long to explain it. But in those moments, I had a blip of clarity, you know, just one of those moments of clarity, whether it's right or wrong. To me, it stood out as a truth.
Right.
And that truth was God is not an it, it's a that.
Right.
And that is the energy within us, within all of us, from the moment we were conceived or the moment we were born, however you see it.
Right.
Right in our solar plexus, there's a spot where that energy exists.
Right.
And that's, look, I have nothing to prove this, but this was that moment of clarity that came to me, that there is energy. When you pass from one form to another, you could go from person to dog to cat to this to that, whatever. It doesn't matter because energy is energy and there's no end to it. It just passes through a physical form.
Right.
Okay. So that, it's a that. It's something that cannot be explained, yet that lives within all of us.
Right. But it is a physical thing, right?
It's matter.
You just said it's physical,
yeah,
right?
Energy
is physical.
Yeah, so,
okay.
And that energy is in with us. I mean, I even had like a little moment during that blip of clarity where we get zapped. You know, there's some sort of universal factor that zaps that energy into us. And that is that piece of us that is moving through time and space.
Right, right.
Whatever the physical form, the
right.
outer layer
But where
is.
Did it come from, Kay? When did it start?
And that's the great mystery. And the times that I really like tortured myself to think about it, to go deep into that thought. And it just makes me feel more and more, powerless. And powerless is a good thing, but kind of like frightened at the ominous.
Right.
You know, just how ominous it is that there's, it's endless. Right. What is out there is endless. We have no idea where this
universe stops
or starts, or if it stops or starts at all.
Right, right. I do have to agree on, you know, many of these things. But I do have the tendency, maybe because I'm Jewish, and I'm like reading up on many things and stuff. And the Torah itself, the first five books in the Bible, okay, like they make the essence of Judaism, okay? And when you think about it, it's that faith, because there's no other explanation, Kay, how people over thousands of years, okay, have survived.
I know.
Despite everybody trying to destroy, annihilate them,
And the plagues.
And all that. But, yeah, and look, there were empires.
Yep.
There were the Egyptian and the Babylonians and all this. None of them exist anymore.
Right.
But the Jews somehow have managed to stick around.
Right.
And my question is, how is that possible? How have they more or less survived the same with the same language? They've never had a country. They never had a military.
Amazing.
You know? And they've always been like a minority. So when I bring up things like this, there's no answers. And even historians say, those are mysteries.
They are.
You know.
And it's okay.
Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is they inadvertently have, or at least Jewish people, look at this and they go, you know what? There is got to be something looking over us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
we think that, but maybe it's not really looking over us.
I'm not saying.
In us.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. But when you get deep into it, you start realizing the whole story. It's not the way at all that Dr. Kent described it.
Right.
You know, not at all.
Yeah, not
so
at all.
Religions are different.
Yes.
And the reason I'm bringing it up, because story insists on putting them all on the same level.
Right.
Where I don't think that's the case. Now, I'm not saying one religion is better than the other. But all I'm asking is this. Ask if the religion you believe in, how do they treat other religions?
Right. Well, that's part of why I left the Catholic Church, and my mother and I both did, although my grandmother is still quite devout, because it did not answer what we needed to be answered. It did not make us feel safe or good, but secluded and sectioned off.
Yes, yes. And very
judgmental.
Repressed too,
and very
right?
repressed, and you put and a lot of faith in this infallible Pope, but that's just a bunch of crap. You know, like nobody is infallible, and human beings are certainly not infallible. Whether you wear a Pope hat or not, and you're worshipped, you know,
right, right. But that's the thing, you know, again, I'm saying this because I'm Jewish and I know Judaism, but we're not allowed to have any images of man anywhere.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? What I mean is like in the synagogue and stuff, so nobody would worship a human being.
I love
being.
That.
The story of Moses is like God wanted him to not go into the land he promised him because nobody knows where he was buried.
Right.
It doesn't say in the Bible, so nobody would come there and worship him after he died.
That's
and all
cool.
that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like that.
So things like that, you know, whereas, and the way you treat other religions. I mean, in Judaism, they never pushed the religion on other people.
I like that.
It's on the
That's
contrary.
True.
They make it difficult.
That's true.
To become Jewish.
Yeah, it's not like when you walk into Utah and you land at the airport and it's like Mormon.
Yeah, you know,
everywhere.
Or like when we had the Crusades and the Christians killed and the Muslims have killed and they still do.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying everybody, of course, but for the name of religion, they do that. They bastardize the religion, whatever it is.
Right.
They're extremes. They're extreme Jews too, and they don't even believe that Israel should exist.
Yeah.
You know, they're anti-Israel, anti-Zionist. So you have all kinds of extremes, and you're right, you know. And I think what we have to agree here, okay, is extremes are they don't get you anywhere.
They don't get you anywhere.
You
they do attract
open-minded.
People who are just, extremists are weak.
Yeah.
They're incredibly weak.
Because they only have one side, right?
Well, yeah, and fear is probably the worst of our emotions that we can function from because it's irrational most of the time.
Mm.
So
yeah, it was built there so we will have the fight or flight. You know,
there's a difference between fear and intuition. And that is sometimes just a hairline thread between the two. You know, if you have an intuition that something is bad and you should be fearful, you should listen to it. But if you're just afraid because you've built that up in your life and now you live by it,
right?
Is 100%. It's mental illness. Yeah. Is what it is.
Okay, so go back to the porn. Not porn, adult entertainment, people say. No, it's porn. That's what they call it.
It is porn. Yeah. But there are companies that prefer to refer to it as adult entertainment.
But this is cool because, I mean, you got to actually integrate sexuality into your life in many ways, mm-hmm. right? And that's awesome because many people don't.
Right.
They suppress that sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know,
I feel again.
Yeah. You know, I always feel I wish I had more sex than I have in my life, you know?
And I wish you did too.
Yeah. Because I was very sexual at a very young age, and I was very attracted to vagina and boobs and that early on. Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I was playing doctor when we were 5 years old, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
really
normal.
I know,
back
but
then.
It's very young. You
not
know?
Now.
Right.
Because now they have video games.
I know.
At 5 years old.
That was in the 60s. That's true. Right. And we grew up outside and with the girls and everything. We would play around.
Right.
And
it was innocent.
So I was always, it was innocent. And the only erotica I had was when I was able to...
Steal a dime novel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you mean.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what I grew up on, right. You know. And then when I first discovered visual porn was I actually found some, you know, slides. We used to have slides before we had videos.
Yeah.
Like photo slides.
I love photo slides.
So.
I love them.
Yeah. Well, you can't beat video, though. But
the whole family gathers around the projector, and you watch them one by one on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
On a screen, if you were lucky enough to have a screen.
So I didn't use the projector, you know, because I didn't have any. I was a kid.
Right.
But
you just look it up in the sun. You just hold it up to the sun or a light. And you look
exactly. Up to the light.
Of course.
And this was the first time I actually saw an adult pussy and a cock, a hard cock, an adult cock.
Didn't it give you something to look forward to?
Yeah, I mean,
give you hope?
It woke me up early on. Yeah,
definitely.
It really did.
Definitely.
You know? And then when you would read those books and you realize I just want to like bury myself in that pussy and eat it and things like that. It's like. Wow,
so
what do
amazing.
I do with this, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing that men, and women too, but that they have it in them. That's a natural instinct.
Yeah, it really is, you know? And now I think back at the time when we were just wasting the sex for... when we were too young to understand, you know, and to really... I was thinking we were just using each other, the girls, the boys, you know? That was, I'm talking early 70s. So...
when things were wild.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like my first time was a neighbor girl that was just like, I think she was a slut. I think she was sleeping around, but for me it was easy.
Yeah.
But now I look back and go, wow.
She was enjoying herself.
Yeah, we used each other, you know?
Yeah. Totally. That's okay.
Oh,
as long as nobody gets hurt in the process, and that's my big thing. Like, enjoy
true,
sex
right?
as long as nobody gets hurt in the process, whatever that means.
Yeah. Now, have you considered becoming like a sex expert or something, like in mainstream though?
I did. I was called a sexpert in January at the Sexual Health Expo. I was there for 2 days.
Really?
And what does it mean? It just means that I mean,
if not you, who? Okay. You know, I mean, you've got the
God,
brains.
It's a big business. It's a big business. And it's funny because at the Sexual Health Expo, you realize just how many people... call themselves or are licensed,
right.
have taken training, or it's just, you know, self-induced.
Fuck the training,
whatever,
man. You gotta grow with
it. That they're sex experts, that they're sex counselors, that they're this, without really being a therapist, without really having the schooling or the training to know, you know, they're just very good at being able to say it's okay to feel what you feel.
Right.
And that's another thing, like this whole thing about God. Like, if God is all-knowing and watching after us, then God is there in your bedroom. And that is why religion spooks people so bad. People who are devout.
Right.
And make them feel shameful about their body, shameful about their sexual urges, wants, desires, needs, which are human nature as a creature of this planet.
Right.
You know? And so in nature, you know, I find myself sometimes getting jealous when I watch National Geographic or any of these other, you know, documentaries, and you see how animals so freely have sex in the wild.
Yeah.
They can just grab whoever they want.
Or even
and
those
do
tribes where they walk around half naked.
Yeah, they just do it. Know, they just do it. Yeah.
And
we have to go through all these.
We're out of time, Kay. I hate to cut
again?
You off.
Shit.
Again, you know, but you'll be back next week,
right?
Tuesday, that'll be awesome, guys. Join us, please. Always great conversation with Kay. And we want to thank Dr. Kent Hovind for his interview. We wish next time it'd be a little quieter so we can, because I get distracted easily. You know, I don't know about
it.
It was noisy. But at any rate, he stimulated conversation.
Definitely.
He had something to say, and that's a good thing. So, Kay, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome.
Thanks everybody, for listening, and we'll see you Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.